case, Cole versus Milwaukee Area Technical College. Mr. Gimbel.
Ah, good morning. I believe I can still say that, Your Honor.
Barely, Mr. Gimbel, barely.
5 minutes in front of. Thank you very much. My name is Franklin Gimbel, and I am here today representing the plaintiff appellant Darnell Cole in this case. As you know, Dr. Cole filed a civil rights case following his termination of his employment with the Milwaukee Area Technical College Board. That matter was assigned to Magistrate Judge Gorenz, and the parties agreed that she could handle the case in the role of the district court judge. Judge Gorenz responded to the defendant's motion for dismissal on the pleadings in a positive way, and we are here as a consequence of that.
So, Mr. Gimbel, explain to me how or what standards you think govern the board's discretion in general, actually, under paragraph 10, and in particular for a subpart B dismissal.
Well, that's a very good question, and I suggest, Judge Wood, that it is hard to define what standards govern their exercise of discretion with respect to paragraph 10B, and I believe that's part of the cause of action that resides in Dr. Cole.
But why is that? I mean, you make that argument in your brief.
Yes.
But don't we have the preliminary question whether there is a property interest entitled to protection under the 14th Amendment? And if there are no standards, then that normally suggests there is no such property interest. There might be a state contract claim, there might be something else, but not 14th Amendment.
That is the threshold. But you have said, this court has said, in a decision actually that Judge Blum participated in, written by Judge Evans in 2004, the Beischel case, that to have a protectable property interest, the plaintiff must show a legitimate claim of entitlement, not just a hopeful expectation, citing Roth, which is the seminal case. This case, Judge Wood, and the rest of the panel, is a case which I believe should be measured not by the words of paragraph 10B solely, but by the behavior of the MATC board when this court addresses the question of whether or not Darnell Cole, in fact, had a property interest in that contract. And I will outline the behavior that I think is relevant to your consideration. First and foremost, Dr. Cole was hired with a written contract in the year 2001. It is a quite detailed contract, which was rewritten in 2004, and that contract is attached as a part of the amended complaint that was filed in this action.
But is it your position that the existence of a contract itself just shows that there is a 14th Amendment interest? Because I'm reminded of many cases where we've seen employees, for example, Park District employees, who look at maybe an employment manual or something else, and just because there's something written down that spells out the expectations of both sides doesn't necessarily mean there's a property interest.
I agree, and I'm not suggesting that the existence of the contract.
So there's something more about this contract.
That is correct.
And
that
you weren't the drafter of any of these contracts.
I wish that I would have been in a client's corner when he signed this document, because he wouldn't have signed it.
That's really what Judge Wood's getting at, and all these rights flow from just having a contract, and I'm looking for the language that I can find all these property rights, constitutional
yes.
violations, procedural due process, because it looks to me like he signed a contract to get his benefits and gave an at-will clause to the board.
That's what it looks like at first blush, but I think you have to go beyond the first blush. And I think if you go beyond the first blush and you look at what this court has said and look at the seminal case of Roth, and read Roth from start to finish. I think that's a curious exercise that we obviously have to do when we come before a court of appeals. You will see that in the Roth case, the seminal case, that was a case where a college professor in the state of Wisconsin was hired on a one-year basis. He did not have a written contract. It was a term certain agreement between the two of them. In fact, based on the dissenting opinions in that case, he had apparently expressed some political views that may not have been in concert with the people who governed that school at that time, and they didn't renew his contract. But if you look into the body of the majority decision in the Roth case, there is language in the Roth case that I believe gives rise to Darnell Coles having a right to have this case proceed beyond the 12B motion and get to the facts to see if there was some genuine basis for his expectation of an entitlement to continued employment. And the language that I'm referring to in Roth is that the state, in declining to rehire the respondent, did not make any charge against him that he might seriously damage his standing and associations in the community. It did not base the non-renewal of his contract on a charge, for example, that he had been guilty of dishonesty or immorality. Had it done so, this would have been a different case. For where a person's good name, reputation, honor, or integrity is at stake because of what the government is doing to him, notice and opportunity to be heard are essential. That's what the majority said.
Let me ask you this. This is sort of a more general question. Do you see this issue as a dichotomous one where either you have a for-cause provision in the contract and thus a property interest, or you don't and thus no property interest? Or do you see it more as your opponents are trying to describe it, as a continuum where there are increasing levels of protection and then at some point someone crosses the line? There's language in Sinderman, which is the companion case to Roth, that makes it sound a little bit more like a continuum.
I believe, Judge Wood, that in this case, this is a for-cause contract, notwithstanding the absence of that word. And why I say that, and why I say that in concert with my argument to you that I think should be considered in your deliberations, is that there is 10E in the contract.
I wanted to get to 10E from a different point of view.
Okay.
I wanted to find out whether in any way Mr. Cole is arguing that he should just get the money that 10E would entitle him to if it were a unilateral termination.
And the answer to your question is, I can say without fear of contradiction, he'd love to get the money, and he'd walk away smilingly without litigation. That's correct. There would not be litigation here.
Does his theory say this was really a 10E termination and thus I'm due severance pay out to the end of the agreement? I don't remember him saying that, actually.
I have said that here today. If I didn't, my message didn't get across. My intention was to say that it is the behavior of the board that determines whether or not he had a right to entitlement to the continuation of his contract in a way that would permit the board to sidestep the responsibility to pay him out. And I'm not certain that I agree with Judge Gorenz when she read the preamble to paragraph 10B of the contract as essentially articulating that this is an at-will contract, because what it says is this agreement may, in the board's sole discretion, expire at its termination date or at the end of the month on any one of the following events occurs, within which there is B, performance or conduct considered grounds for dismissal by the board. Now, understand this. It says in this contract they have to make a judgment about whether or not performance or conduct, in their view, should permit them to sidestep paying out this contract.
So what if they decided they didn't like the clothes he was wearing every day? It wasn't the image that they wanted to see projected on the part of the president. Do you think that could be conduct constituting grounds for dismissal?
No. Not without paying him out. I think they had to pay him out.
I'm talking about B. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
all
right. I want to be consistent. And what we have additional to that is that it is not disputed that within this complaint, there is an allegation that Dr. Cole was arrested for drunk driving. Soon thereafter, within days, the board used its outside counsel to have an interview with Dr. Cole, which was premised on a Garrity warning, which said, you will answer questions of mine, or you will suffer the consequences of some employment action against you just for your non-cooperation. And so he had this interview. And within days of that, I think a day or two after that, they had a hearing. That is a part of what I'm suggesting to you for your deliberations, is the behavior of the board that suggests to me, an old lawyer who's been around a long time, that they viewed this as a provision that required some kind of cause. Even though their lawyers don't say that in this case, they didn't say it in response to our complaint, they're not saying it in response to our appeal, but they treated what they did to discharge Dr. Cole under 10B as though they had some cause responsibility, because they conducted an investigation, they conducted a hearing, albeit an investigation and a hearing that I suggest did not comport with the responsibilities that they had for making a full-fledged due process kind of exit strategy for themselves. But I do believe that their behavior, A, in renewing the contract, in having this other alternative way to walk away from the relationship, paying money, was such that it made 10B a for-cause determination, and they behaved as though they had that responsibility and didn't do it right.
You aren't suggesting, are you, Mr. Gimbel, that if they hadn't conducted that investigation and just had fired him summarily, that 10B would have then been better satisfied? In other words, by taking that step, have they foreclosed their discretion under 10B?
The answer is no, but I think they have helped me in my argument. Okay?
If we read B and E in concert as you would have us,
yes.
What's left to B?
It's a for-cause termination. It's a for-cause termination. And they treated it like a for-cause termination up to a point, and they tripped on the sidewalk and didn't do it right.
Thank you, Mr. Gimbel. Scrivener.
Good morning. My name is Tom Scrivener. I'm representing Milwaukee Area Technical College, or MATC, as the term will be today. This contract is not a cause contract. Behavior of the board would not make it a cause contract. Under Wisconsin law, which is the applicable law on the cause question, cause has a definition and a meaning. It isn't a process-oriented issue. It is a substantive issue.
But the thing that's troublesome about this is just what we were finishing up with Mr. Gimbel. This contract clearly provides for unilateral termination on the part of the board, that's subpart E. And you want B to mean something. And so I'm left with the concern that this contract is either, I won't use the word fraudulent, you know, but just meaningless because it has all these words, but at the end of the day, all it means is the board has unfettered discretion to terminate Mr. Cole's employment for whatever reason it wants to. For example, my hypothetical, they don't like the clothes he's wearing, if they don't feel like paying the severance payment. I mean, that's very troublesome.
It clearly is not the circumstance in terms of why this termination came about.
But we're not supposed to think about that. You're saying we don't even reach the 14th Amendment property.
Well, the question is a property interest question, and the question is look at the contract to see whether in that contract are expressed any of the necessary ingredients for a property interest.
So what if the board thought that wearing nice clothes was an essential part of the job, you know, presenting yourself to the public as president of MATC and so on, and Mr. Cole was stubbornly not wearing the clothes they wanted, and so they dismiss him?
Dr. Cole entered into an employment contract knowing.
Well, would that be a B dismissal or an E dismissal?
That could be a 10B dismissal in the example that you gave. When you first spoke with Attorney Gimbel about just the image was wrong or there was personal dislike, those issues may very well be more akin to 10E issues. But to read this contract fairly and to know what it has at its essence, this was a contract that clearly gave to the organization significant rights to remove Dr. Cole in a variety of circumstances, the due approach, the at-will type of employment, despite the fact that this is an employment contract. The board
intentionally
retained flexibility to be able to act.
Sure. Now, I can see that in the board's sole discretion, but how would Dr. Cole ever enforce his rights to the severance payments under 10E? Couldn't the board always say, you know, well, we decided to let you go for conduct that we consider grounds for dismissal?
There clearly is, because there are no definitions in this contract of the word conduct or the word performance, and 10B gives to the board sole discretion to make all of those determinations. Clearly, this is a general criteria that vests in the board tremendous decision-making authority.
Following up, Judge Wood, what's the purpose of 10E?
The purpose of 10E would be if there were not situations of conduct and there were not situations of performance, that the board in its sole discretion would conclude warranted dismissal, there would then be other circumstances that did not meet that definition that would permit a 10E termination to occur.
So it's not a 10E is not the opportunity for the president to decide he wants to take the job as chancellor at the University of Wisconsin and make twice as much money, and therefore he leaves before the term is up. That's not 10E's purpose.
10E is a unilateral action on the part of MATC to terminate. It does not speak to any actions that Dr. Cole would take if he were to change voluntarily his own employment relationship.
But I can't see a concrete example where the board looking at 10E would, at its option with a minimum of 90 days notice, unilaterally terminate, because you're postulating there's something not related to conduct performance or conduct. And the thing about 10E that's interesting is that it does seem to have embedded in it a sort of property interest, because there's a right to severance pay. That's money.
10E is not part of the claim. It hasn't been the part of the claim in the amended complaint that was filed. It hasn't been the subject of litigation in any other forum either.
Okay, but there's a categorization issue when somebody's employment is terminated. Was this a B or an E? And there's a strong incentive for the board to call everything a B termination, because there's no money that has to be paid. Equally, there's a strong incentive for the person in Dr. Cole's position to characterize as an E termination.
You're correct, Your Honor, but the fact of the matter is this issue didn't come to the board in a vacuum.
Uh-huh.
The need to terminate did not come in a vacuum. There was conduct. There were issues. There were concerns. There was public reaction. There was behavior. There was a violation of a role model. There was admitted illegal conduct, ultimately. That's what brought this issue to the board. So the board correctly and factually and actually looked at this issue under 10B, because the question was a conduct question. Did the conduct of Dr. Cole in connection with drunk driving rise to the level of the kind of conduct that the board in its sole discretion would determine warranted discharge? It's a discretionary call. That is not a cause determination under this contract. It is a contract that gave to the board the right to make these decisions, and to make these decisions free of financial liability if such a decision were made. That's why 10B was inserted in the contract, and I'm sure that is why Mr. Gimbel indicated that he would have advised Dr. Cole not to sign it. The fact of the matter is Dr. Cole signed it, and 10B was in the first contract, and it was in every contract thereafter.
Would you say 10B allows the board to fire for any reason, and 10E allows them for a discharge for no reason?
I would not read 10B to say any reason or no reason.
Not B.
I'd say 10B does not allow that. 10E would. 10B tells the board there have to be situations either of conduct or performance.
You have a reason under B.
There has to be a basis.
Well, a basis. But under E, you don't have to have any.
That is correct. And looking at 10B in the sole discretion context, what the cases would say is that the board members would simply need to have an honest belief that conduct was engaged in that would warrant the discipline. That is such a general statement that it can't give rise to a property interest, and I don't believe there's any law that would say that a provision such as 10b does give rise to a property interest.
So do you think if there were some evidence or some allegation that the board had cited 10b just as a pretext for getting around 10e, that there might be a claim? I'm not saying that's this case,
yes.
But I just hypothetically, what I'm concerned about is making sure E is enforceable under your theory.
Well, E would be enforceable in the circumstances that E addresses. B is enforceable in the circumstances that it addresses. This happens to be a situation that clearly, and I think undisputedly, as a factual matter, fits B. That's why it was handled as it was. That's why the termination process had to occur as it did. The board, in being careful.
So, in other words, you're just saying on this record there's no hint of pretext on the board's part.
I do not believe so. I don't believe that has been alleged. There wouldn't be any proof on that. And certainly all of that would have to be addressed in some fashion if 10B somehow raises a property interest, which we think it does not. Any other questions, Your Honor?
Thank you
very much.
Gimbel, you may have 2 additional minutes. Mr. Gimbel, let me ask you, because I'm intrigued by Judge Wood's hypothetical about fashion. They don't like the way he's dressed, so you fire under 10E and give 90 days. You get 90 days. In other words, there's no reason of any moment. You get 90 days notice and pay.
Pay for the whole contract.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah. So do you agree it's a reason, no reason situation? I mean, B is a reason, some reason, some basis, if you want to say. And E is a...
Yes, I agree with that. But I think that once you establish that in order to take the road of 10B, you have a contract that requires cause. And once you have a contract that requires cause, that triggers a civil rights obligation on the part of the firing employer to provide due process. And I think Judge Wood used the word fraudulent, and I'm sure that came to your mind, which it came to my mind when I was representing this man. This is a con game that MATC's board is playing with the help of their lawyer. They've structured a bear trap here for an employee to come into and say, we can really dump you with no pay on the way out the door for any reason we think is good, but we have to have a reason.
But this is an educated man. He can read the phrase in 10, the beginning part, in the board's sole discretion, in case the point wasn't made there, in B, considered grounds for dismissal by the board. There's no list of grounds for dismissal. There's nothing. So why doesn't, I mean, I did use that word just to kind of explore the limits of this, but why isn't this plain on its face to each party who signs this contract?
Well, the first part of 10, paragraph 10, is the sole discretion of the board. That's no big deal. That doesn't make it an at-will contract because they are the employer. So we have the discretion to separate you from us if you die, okay? If you decide to take a job, Judge McCuskey, in another place, we can both walk away from this contract. We can do it if you become disabled with certain financial considerations. We can just say, we don't like the way you dress, we don't like the way you behaved last night in the community, and we'll pay you out, goodbye, say goodbye. Or we can terminate this contract at the end of the month if we find that your performance, your conduct, in our view, doesn't meet our standards. And I say that when they use a 10B, because they have 10E, they have created an entitlement, a property right in the contract for Dr. Cole, and they have to give him due process. And the word cause is irrelevant, and that argument is not inconsistent with Roth, and it's not inconsistent with Beischel, and it's not inconsistent with anything you've said here in the Seventh Circuit, because I think from a global point of view, what we have here is a unique contractual situation where you've got a written contract with a midterm termination. Most of all of these other cases are at the end of the line. Do I have a right to re-up? or without a contract, do I have a right to continued employment because of statutory rights, ordinance rights, or what have you? Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Scrivener. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.